Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, a lot of people voted for this because they have other interests that Kevin McCarthy has assured them of. But that doesn't mean that they are satisfied with his leadership, and it doesn't mean that they're happy about the fact that they had to vote for this. Nancy Pelosi, in her years and years of being Speaker, never once asked Republicans to vote for the rule, a procedural mechanism that puts the bill on the floor. Kevin McCarthy, in his first 5 months, had to ask the Democrats and received 52 votes from the Democrats to actually have the bill heard. That's really unheard of and shows weakness. And I think that's the sort of weakness that Republicans are looking at and trying to make a determination whether he won't be fit to serve.
Wow. Ken Buck there, Congressman, talking. He's one of the ones that raised the issue last week of whether or not to bring up a no confidence vote in Kevin McCarthy over the debt deal. That's big right there. Let me get to Chanel Rione, who's joining us, of course, White House correspondent for One America News. Chanel, welcome back.
Be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. I don't know if you heard that soundbite there from Ken Buck. Do you get the impression there's any real appetite in Congress to have a no confidence vote in Kevin McCarthy because of this debt deal?
Oh, there's an appetite, all right, Mark. It only takes one vote to put Kevin McCarthy's gavel back into question. And 71 Republicans voted against this bill. They all said that this was a terrible deal, the debt ceiling bill that just passed this last week. And it was spearheaded by Kevin McCarthy, who, for all intents and purposes, had the upper hand in this negotiation. And he gave up so many of his strong suits in order to make this happen before a false deadline, Mark. And this is a huge cause of consternation here. You have Republicans saying this bill does not accomplish what it says it does. And what does it say it does? McCarthy is coming out in the media circuit, and he's saying that, look, it's cutting the budget. We are cutting billions of dollars from our budget. This is a good thing. Well, Mark, this is like saying, look, the school speed limit is 85 right now. We're trimming it back to 80.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a cut, but does it help? Does it save any? No, it makes no difference. The cuts are about $12 billion. We currently spend about $1 trillion every year just in interest rates, and this bill is going to add $4 trillion. To the entirety of our spending forecast. And so there's a lot of wonky details we can go into, Mark, but at the end of the day, you've got a lot of angry Republicans who are very likely going to put Kevin McCarthy's gavel into question.
Wow.
And it's based on the fact that he had the bargaining chip, and he did not use them.
I listened to his spin of it, Chanel. It's pretty amazing to listen to. And on top of all of that, you got the president taking a victory lap Friday afternoon. You got Chuck Schumer praising what a great bill this is and what a great victory for Democrats. And more Democrats than Republicans voted for it. I mean, that kind of tells you all you need to know right there.
It does. So to be absolutely fair, here's a win. The one win that we had in my book was that they scaled back COVID funding. The massive loss was the fact that 90% of Biden's IRS army will remain intact.
Yeah.
That's a huge win to Democrats. So, of course, Schumer is happy. Of course, Biden is happy. They got what they wanted. And that was to get the Republicans to get on their knees and absolutely succumb to everything the Democrats wanted. The problem is, there's a much, much bigger conversation that this is hurtling us to that no one wants to talk about, Mark. It's the fact that this bill is not averting disaster. The fact that the U.S. would have defaulted is actually not a as bad a scenario as people were making it out to be. I've spoken to world famous economists who have said, no, even if we got into a default, it wouldn't have been that bad. We would have gotten back on our feet. America ultimately pays its bills. What is this marching us towards ultimately? This is marching us towards a globalized currency. We can get into the details of how we get there, but basically you're watching countries around the world, Mark, say they no longer want to use the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency. China is convincing slowly countries in South America, countries in, you know, the all over the world, and they're saying, stop using the dollar, use the Chinese yuan, use something else. And this is all marching us towards a globalized dollar, a centralized currency that will put the control of your bank account in the hands of the UN or the WEF or these globalist minded individuals who want control and want you to obfuscate and release all control of your own personal liberties. That's what we're marching towards. And this is what this debt ceiling bill is helping us move towards. Because now the Treasury Department is going to have to auction off its bills in the next month. In the next month, again, this is moving us towards a situation where the world is looking at America and saying, is the dollar really worth what they say it is?
Yeah. Given our debt level, that it's a scary conversation. It is. Hey, Chanel, before I run out of time, I want to get your reaction to this comment yesterday by McCarthy regarding contempt charges for Christopher Wray. Hold on.
Hold on.
Yeah, I got the soundbite here. I just didn't have the audio is not up. Hang on just a second. I want to let people hear this here. Hang on.
He then changed his mind that he would let the chairman and the ranker see the document and bring it to the House. That is not good enough. That is also not good enough for the Secretary of State to think you're only going to show one member. We have a responsibility oversight. If they do not comply and allow every person on oversight, Republican or Democrat, that's their responsibility as members of Congress, to see this document, I will move contempt charges against the director.
Yeah. How real is that possibility, do you think, Chanel?
I think it's quite real. There's a lot of Republicans who are on board and unified. Unlike the debt ceiling bill, they're very unified in this whole discussion about how weaponized was the U.S. government against the American people, against Donald Trump. And the evidence is piling on. There's a lot of support. Republicans are unified. I think that's going to happen. This is also why, Mark, Trump is up 53 points. And everybody else is double digits behind him. And you mentioned Nikki Haley earlier in the segment. And,
yes.
You know, I don't know who was watching it. I wasn't. I watched the highlight reels, but I didn't spend my 90 minutes watching that. Trump is ahead because he is going to be the kamikaze pilot to the deep state. And that's what we need to genuinely get rid of this stuff. You can't rely on politicians who are going to go in and say, I'm going to promise all of these things to you, but it is contingent on the fact that I win re-election. No, the American people are seeing this corruption at the FBI level and saying, we need someone who's going to go in there, destroy the rot, and they don't care what's going to happen to themselves afterwards.
And that's
what that requires, someone who goes in seeking to get the job done, but they're not seeking re-election.
Amen. And that's what's got James Comey and all of the other deep staters so concerned right now, right there.
That's exactly why they fear Trump the most. So, you know, before I leave, I got to urge everyone, if you want to keep following this stuff, the best coverage is absolutely at OAN. We have no tethers and no filters. No one's told what to say or what not to say. So download OAN Live on your app or any streaming device you've got.
Excellent.
It's one app you download, grab OAN Live.
We will do that. Chanel Rione, thank you so much for your time this morning. Always great having you on.
Thanks, Mark. Good to
be
on.
We'll talk soon. Chanel Rione, One America News. Yeah, download the app. Listen to them. They're covering this stuff, right?
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.